Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Good morning. Welcome to Grace Heritage Church. Happy Memorial Day weekend. I guess we can do that quickly. And thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather together. Let me encourage you, if you have not already done this, if you need a one of those little cards that are in the seat back pockets, find one of those, fill it out, let us know that you're here, and that will allow our men to pray for you. And also, if there are some particular needs that you want to communicate to us, just flip the card over on the back. That's a great way to do that. Drop it in the offering plate this morning a little bit later when it's passed, and we will try to attend to that, okay? So that's our desire, is to encourage you and minister to you, and that's a good way for you to let us know some things that might be going on that we can do to help you. So please fill out that card and give us as much information as you're comfortable surrendering. Today, we have a normal morning schedule. We'll meet together at 11:15 for Bible study, but then this afternoon, we'll gather around 4 o'clock at Kiesel Park and have hamburgers and hot dogs, and you can play games and just hang out and fellowship with each other, maybe meet someone that you don't know very well yet. There, we'll meet at the pavilion, and there will be tables and chairs provided there, and we are bringing the meat. You're bringing all the fixings and side items and drinks and things like that. And so if you haven't had an opportunity to sign up to do that, let me know, and we'll, man, thank you, Daniel. We will let you plug into that, okay? I think that pretty well takes care of all the announcements and things that are coming and what's going to happen today. Primarily, we're gathered together to worship. Oh, and let me do this one thing, too. If you need me this week, you need to call me on my cell phone. I probably won't be, I'll be in and out of the office a lot this week. Tomorrow, we're helping Pam move to her new house. And then on Saturday, our family's moving to our new house. And so this week's going to be finishing up, tying all that together. And so I appreciate those of you who are maybe going to be able to help us do that this week. So if you need me, and you don't know my cell phone number, I'll tell it to you later. If you come and if you ask me, I'll tell you, okay? And you can always reach me by email. Lord willing, I'll be able to check my email through the week as well. So they have that kind of technology, I understand now. So, now all that being said, we're here to worship together. And so let me encourage you to find on the front of the worship bulletin a text from Psalm 148. And this is a call to us and to all people of all generations to worship and praise the Lord together. So let me ask you to stand, please, and we will read from this text together and ask for the Lord's help as we worship together this morning. Join me, would you please? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. Would you join me as we pray together, please? Father, there have been people in history and even who live now in various places around the world who give attention and worship and honor to the stars and to the moon and to the sun and the created things that are in existence. You know, this text tells us that those things were created not to receive worship, but to give worship, to reflect the glory of God as the Creator. And so we're reminded that everything that exists in all the creation, and especially us, whether we are kings or paupers, men or women, young or old, all of us exist to the praise and glory of your grace. And you have made us, and we are yours. And so today, as we gather together as your people and around your word, we want to hear your call upon our lives, the claim that you make upon us to worship you. So help us now as we sing, as we pray, and as we gather around your word to reflect glory and honor to you in all that we do. And may our lives reflect glory to you as those you have made for your own glory and praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. These are oftentimes days of sorrow that are mixed with joy, expectant joy. And that joy is rooted in the promise of Christ that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. And so the work that Christ has begun in you, that sometimes in your perception seems faltering or wavering or not progressing, that's a false perception. You often cannot see in leaps and bounds the things that God is doing in your life. And so in those days, you cling to the promise that Jesus has made. Because in these days of temporary joys and realizing that our sorrows are temporary as well, we cling to the promise that Christ is going to eternally make our joy real and lasting. And so we cling to the hope that Christ Jesus is faithful, and He is not only able to save us, but He's able to keep us and move us toward the perfection that God has ordained for us in Christ Jesus one day when we are with Him in glory. And so the gospel hope for you today is not just that Jesus will take you to heaven when you die, but that He is at work in your life in these days, moving you toward that day progressively and in a saving, growing, maturing, perfecting way. So I invite you today to bow with me in a silent prayer of repentance and faith, thanking God for His provision and asking Him to take you where you are now and move you towards Christ just a little more today. Ask Him to do this work in you. And perhaps even some of you need to ask God to do this saving work in your life for the very first time today. Look to Christ and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Would you join me as we pray together? Father, would you encourage our hearts this day by the promise of Jesus, whose lips cannot lie, whose purposes cannot fail, and whose work cannot be altered or destroyed. For He alone is the King who rescues His people and brings us safely home. And so even in this day, would you do your saving work in the hearts of your people? Perhaps to bring someone to life today in this place where they are, and to move each of us who are followers of Jesus a little bit further along in our walk with you. We ask for all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our sufficient and sure and able Savior, who holds us in His hand and will not let us go. Thanks and praise be to Jesus Christ, our King. In His name we pray, amen. Let's stand together and continue to worship the Lord as we sing. Thank you.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 1. If you'd like to use one of the Bibles in the rack in front of you, you can find that on page 986. If you don't have a copy of God's Word or a copy of the English Standard Version that we read from in our public scripture reading, feel free to take that copy with you. It will be yours as a gift from our church. So in 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes in chapter 1 to this church at Thessalonica. And in this introductory chapter here, he makes it clear that the gospel doesn't just come asking for or gaining mental assent or just a good feeling, but it actually produces transformation of life and energetic action for the sake of the kingdom of God. And that's what we see characterizing this church. And all of this is not because of any great power in themselves. It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit, which Paul makes very clear in this passage. So, if you would, follow along as I read 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of His Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Our Father in heaven, we are amazed at your power and your grace. You took people who had never heard of you, and by the gospel, you turned them into believing people of love and strong action. We know that these kinds of transformations don't happen by making personal resolutions, by worldly wisdom, or by powerful pep talks. They only happen because the message of Christ changes people from the inside out. We thank you for that. We thank you for that hope. And we know, Father, that this same power is at work right here at Grace Heritage Church. And so we thank you, Father, for the energy and the deep conviction of the truth that can be observed right here in our local body. It is an evidence of the work of your Spirit. And so we give thanks to you for this fruit because we know that it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's not because of anything good found in us. Thank you, Father. But in all this, we recognize and we confess that we have much room to grow. We would like to be more like the Thessalonians described here. We could have more joy in the Holy Spirit. We could have deeper conviction of the truth. We could have more energy for the spread of the gospel. Father, we long for these things. We long to grow in these things. So grant us help. Help us as a body to have the same reputation as the Thessalonians, where the word of God sounds forth powerfully from us and where you receive the glory. Father, do that in this body. Father, we pray for those who are laboring in various places, sounding forth the word all over the world. We pray especially this morning for Kevin and Egenea Millard. We ask, Father, that you would help them as they labor in Brazil, as they seek to build up pastors, as they labor to encourage others in the faith. Give them strength, give them wisdom, how to allocate their time and energy and resources. Father, glorify yourself through their ministry. We pray for churches all over, and especially this morning, we pray for those in this community, and even more particularly, we want to lift up First Presbyterian Church in Opelika. We ask, Father, that you would be with them as they gather. We ask, Father, that they would long to be like the Thessalonians, where the word sounds forth and where there is strong action for the sake of your kingdom. We ask, Father, that you would bless their pastor, Noah Kaiser, with wisdom and clarity in preaching the word. Father, glorify yourself in that body. We pray for those who are working to guide missionaries through the North American Mission Board. We ask, Father, that you would help them to have wisdom in how to use the monies that are sent from local churches, to be good stewards of those things, to strategically place people and resources so that the gospel sounds forth. Father, we want to see your kingdom grow. We want to see Christ made known where he's not yet known, and followed and lifted up and glorified. So use them, Father, to do that. Father, we pray for those in authority this morning. We pray this morning especially for our Alabama State Senator, Tom Whatley. We ask, Father, that you would give him wisdom, that you would give him wise and godly counselors, that his decisions would be made on the basis of godly wisdom, and that they would benefit and bless your people and all of your image bearers here in the state of Alabama. Father, we pray for those who've just graduated, and for all of us who are moving into a different time of the year in the summer where things are different. We ask, Father, that you would be with those who are looking for jobs or settling into new jobs, who are moving in various types of transition. Be with them, Father. Help them to know your presence even when outward circumstances are changing. And Father, for those of us who have different opportunities and circumstances in the summer, I ask that you would grant us help to be good stewards of those things, not to waste our time and energy, but to recognize new opportunities. Father, deliver us from the particular temptations that summer may bring, and help us to produce fruit in light of the opportunities that we have. Father, we also want to lift up our building and space situation. You know what we need, Father. We ask that you would bring that to our attention and give us wisdom in knowing what to do about it. And we trust you for an answer to that. And Father, as we come to a time of giving of tithes and offerings, we recognize, Father, that all of our material possessions are from you. You have entrusted these things to us as stewards. So may we be faithful in those things. And as we give our tithes and offerings, we ask that you would receive them as an evidence of our stewardship, that we know that you own it all. And we ask, Father, that you would take these resources and cause your word to sound forth all over the world. And then, most importantly, Father, we pray for the ministry of the word here. We ask, Father, that you would help Pastor Paul to say exactly what we need to hear. Help us to receive your word, not simply as words, as a statement of truth, but with deep conviction that it speaks to our condition and addresses our deepest needs. Pour out your spirit so that we respond with joy and with labor and with steadfast hope. And we recognize there are surely some here who have never received your word with life-changing power. And so we ask that you would open their hearts to receive that today. We ask all these things In the name of our risen and returning Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Be seated. Please take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 16. And if you're using one of the Bibles that are in the chair rack in front of you, that you'll find that on page 902. John chapter 16. And I will begin reading in verse 16. And continue down through verse 24. John chapter 16, I'll begin reading in verse 16. You follow along there with me. Jesus says to his disciples, "A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." This is the word of God. Now, some of you are here today walking in the midst of significant sorrows. Some are walking in the midst of significant joys. Some of you have recently graduated from high school or college, and you're looking for the next thing, what's about to come, and that's either really exciting or really scary or a combination of both. You have walked through various excitements, and now you can't find a job, and that's a sorrow. Some of you have had struggles in your families in recent days. Maybe you've had arguments with your spouse or blow-ups with your children or a complaint registered at work, or your boss just isn't very nice, or maybe you just got a great new promotion and you're going to make $10 million a year next year, you know, and help us build a new building. I can guarantee you that you're walking in the midst of one of those kinds of places, that life generally is not ever very neutral, that it tends towards sorrows and joys. And so as we look at this text, we want to understand that Jesus is teaching his disciples that sorrows and joy and joys in this world, in this life, are often very temporary. And even if they last through the whole of life, this life is temporary. And so he's calling us to find that we can find real, lasting, eternal joy only in a relationship with him, and he's calling us to ask the Father for that now. So to shift our paradigm, if you will, the way that we think about what real joy is, and shift that from this world to him, and look to him to satisfy us, and to keep his promises that he's making, promises he made to the disciples that hold true still for us. And you need to hear these words from Jesus today, because you're walking in some of these very kinds of situations. So whether it's a sorrowful place or a joy that's going to be short-lived, you need to hear the words of Jesus reminding you that the pleasures that this world offer, and even the sorrows, are temporary, that it's in relationship with Christ that you find real significant joy. And he's promised that that's a joy no one can take away from you. And it's an increasing joy that will one day be cemented in place, if you will, for all eternity. So let's look together in the text and learn about these things from the words of Christ. First of all, in this world, both pleasure and sorrow are temporary. Jesus is still trying to help the disciples work through this sorrow that they have because he's about to go away. They still don't have a category for a suffering Messiah. The king that they've been anticipating all their lives was going to come in and wipe out their enemies and establish a kingdom, and they wanted to be a part of that. And they just didn't understand what kind of kingdom it was going to be. And they don't have a category for a king who will suffer and die and go away. And so Jesus is still working with them and helping them to see that the sorrow they have because he's going away won't last much longer. And that's why he uses this language. Notice he says in verse 16, a little while and you'll see me no longer. He's telling them again, I'm about to die. I'm going away. But a little while again and you will see me. He's telling them about the resurrection, that they will lay their physical eyes on him again, even though he dies. And notice particularly verse 20. Look at the text. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. So their sorrow is going to be the world's joy. And yet, that will be temporary and short-lived, for it will flip. And he finishes that verse and says, but your sorrow will turn into joy. So what we're learning here is that the world's rejoicing won't last. And we're going to talk about the world's rejoicing in a couple of categories. And the first of that, obviously, is that here, when he says the world is going to rejoice, that's a wicked rejoicing. It's a rejoicing that's rooted in a wicked end. They had a wicked device and intention for Christ, and they felt like when he was executed on the cross that they had accomplished their wicked ends, and they were rejoicing. The leaders, the religious leaders of the day said, good, we've got that man out of our hair and out of our way, and he won't be a bother to us anymore. Those who saw him as a potential political unrest in their community, the Roman leaders, were glad to have him out of the way so that he wouldn't cause any more potential political disruption in their community. They wanted societal calm, and that was their responsibility as leaders in the Roman government. So everyone rejoiced at the death of Christ in the world. And yet, they would find that very quickly that rejoicing would come to an end. That's true. Even when there's no wickedness inherent in the thing that gives you joy or pleasure. Let's talk about some of those things for a moment. There are a lot of things that God has given us to enjoy very richly, right? But they all come to an end. The movie ends. The meal comes to an end. There's the last sip in the cup. A relationship that we have enjoyed for decades perhaps ends. A job ends. A place, a living in a particular place ends. The things that we enjoy, and rightly so, in this life, come to an end. And so Jesus wants you to understand that there's a temporary nature to even the things that we enjoy rightly in this world. And so we're not to look to them for the end of our joy. You understand the difference in those? Those things end, and so they are not the ultimate end and source and provision of our joy. Those things, like we've been singing all morning, creation sings the Father's song. And so the rising of the sun and the moon and the stars and the flowing rivers and the animals and everything that you see around you and all the beauty in creation is not designed to draw attention to itself, but to act like a giant post-it note everywhere you go all day long saying, look at the Creator, look at the Creator, glory to God, glory to the one who could bring this into being, glory to God alone. And so that's what's going on in all of creation around us. And none of those things were intended to be the object of our worship or the end or the ultimate of our joy. That's why John warns us in 1 John chapter 2 that we're not to love the things of the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life is of the world and is not of the Father. And these things, he says, are passing away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of the Father abides forever. And so he's telling us there's a temporary nature to these kinds of things. And so there's a shortness to them. Jesus would be executed, and there would be rejoicing in the world, but then he would appear to them again. Just turn over a couple of pages to the right in your Bible to John chapter 20. Maybe three or four pages. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. John 20, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, so this is the day of Jesus' resurrection, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, So get this mental picture in your mind. 11 men huddled in a room, frightened because their king, their Messiah, has been crucified and put to death, and there's no longer anyone to watch out for them or protect them.